Well, let's turn to Psalms 150, the last chapter in the book of Psalms tonight, just for a few moments. And you probably say, well, what does he know about a few moments? I ain't never known him to get up there and preach just for a few moments. I said, a few moments. Right. But I do want to thank you once again for your many prayers that has went up. And I was talking to Brother Gill Monday afternoon. Yeah. And I asked Brother Gill, I said, Brother Gill, I want to ask you something. I said, you've been in the ministry a whole lot longer than I have. I said, but looks like to me, every time you turn around, that the devil is attacking God's people. And he's attacking the men of God and their families. And the families has not done anything. The families don't get up and preach. But he is on the warpath today. And in the warpath that I think he's on is to the ones that's staying true to God and staying in the Word of God. That I believe that may be some of the reason that a whole lot of churches today and a whole lot of pastors today are backing away from the King James book, is because they see it happening to too many preachers today that is standing on the King James Bible. And I stand on it wholeheartedly. I'm for it. And I'm against all these other translations that they got out here. It's not nothing but of the devil. So we just kept on talking, and I was telling him, I said, you know something? You can tell the churches, you can tell about the churches in whom they serve. The churches that seem like they have people coming in all the time, and yes, their numbers go up, and they are having people to come in and bring them money and stuff like that, and donate to the church. And it looked like the church is doing so well for them. Now I said, Brother Gill, tell me if I'm wrong in what I'm about ready to say. That I believe that that's where the separation of the true church is coming into play. Because I go back and I know, and I read in the book of Job and everything that, you know, God has to permit the devil to attack his people, the people that I believe that are saved by the grace of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that some of these churches, and these churches I hear, that some of the people in are not saved. I'm not saying that the pastors are not saved. But I'll say this. I don't believe they're preaching the truth anymore. Because what does the devil do? The devil's not going to bother them. Because They're preaching what the devil wants them to preach. A little lullaby message. So he's going to leave them alone. And you know how I feel about the Lord and how I feel about the Father and the Holy Spirit. Each one of them, they have their separate responsibilities. And I believe that I have the Word of God that can back me up on it. But who is the devil attacking today? He is attacking the true church. The church that is standing on thus says the Word of God. And sometimes it's hard to get up here and preach a message that it seems like, you know, I know all of you, I know all of you are saved and everything. And I will say sometimes, I say, well, God, I says, they don't need that message. They don't need that message. They're saved. They are the faithful ones. I mean, I know we don't have that many, but at least they are faithful. Unless one of them are sick or something, they're going to be there at all three services in any way possible. And I says, and I told Brother Gill, I said, Brother Gill, I said, I believe that we have scripture for it all. I believe over in the book of Matthew, and I think it's in the book of Mark also, where the Lord is speaking about the pruning of the church, the pruning of the trees out here. What he's saying about pruning, our own lives needs to be pruned. We need to allow God to prune us and get all the dead weight off of us, because we do have, when you carry sin around, it's dead weight. Like over in the book of Hebrews, it speaks about the weight that we carry around, and that's the weight of sin. But here tonight, I just want to go in a new direction tonight than that. But I want to look at Psalms 150, and it's number 6 verses right here. But it says in 150, the very first verse, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the partially in the harp. Praise him with the cymbals and dance. Praise him with strings, instruments, and organs. Praise him among the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the sound, the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We can see some aspects in this right here. It will take us all the way back to the New Testament era, and where we have the New Testament today. We're living under grace. We're not living under the law anymore. But you have to have, and you have to preach, and you have to believe in what the Old Testament, you have to believe and trust in what the law says for us to really to grasp and understand what the grace of God is. Because it took God's grace, it took His mercy, it took everything that God had to allow His Son to leave heaven. And it said right here, it's in the latter part in the book of Psalms. And it says right here, it says in the footnotes right here, it says, in the final doxology, the psalmist calls for praise in God's sanctuary. That's what the house of God is all about. It's coming in and worshiping God and giving Him praise and Him glory and singing songs. And we see right here where there's instruments here that have string instruments. But we also see one instrument right here that is mentioned in the New Testament and the Old Testament. That it does not, and the others, they are mentioned in the New Testament, but not as much, and it's not much of a meaning as this one word. And that one word that I'm speaking about is a trumpet. The trumpet, which is called shofar. Now, you can take, I hear, you could go, I hear, and you could, go on some of these ranches out in the West, and you could gather some of these bulls, and they have the long horns, and y'all seen them. That's what he's speaking about right here in his shofar. He's speaking about that, yes, they have a horn there. They have taken that ivory, they have taken that horn there that is worth more than what all we have. Because this ivory in there, but they go in there and they holler it out. And after they holler it out and everything, then that's the way they could get the message out. That's the way that they could get their voice out and let the people know that yesterday, right now, we're meeting in the sanctuary. And they blow this shofar, the trumpet. And the people would start walking and they would start gathering in. And they would start praising the Lord. They would start praising the Lord because they were willing to allow themselves to be in the presence of the speaker at that time. And would be with the eloquence of the speaker and everything that went on in his sanctuary give God the praise and the glory that he rightly deserved. Now we also know that it wasn't that at that time they haven't been saved. Jesus Christ had not come on his scene. But I want to bring you a message on this thought. What's wrong with my children? What's wrong with my children? The first one is, have not I saved them? Have not the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary for our sins? Yes, He did. So why shouldn't we come into the house of God and lift a hand and just praise Him? and give him the honor and the glory. That's what we need to do. We need to lift up the bloodstained banner. And we need to lift it up high to where people know exactly who will fold and who will not. Jesus Christ is the only door to salvation. John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door. If we can walk through that door, we have to walk through that door and we have to open that door because we are on the outside. The door is always open, but we have to turn the doorknob. And once we turn the doorknob, then he invites us in. And when he invites us in, then that's when we're saved. He invites us in to let us know what he wants the church and he wants the people to know. And that's basically what he was telling the psalmist David right here in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter in the book of Psalms. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Can we praise him today? Can anybody just praise the Lord today? And not be a... I mean, we don't have to... This thing now today, the people are so scared to praise the Lord. They're so scared to come in and worship. They're so scared to come in and raise their hand. They're so scared to thank the Lord out loud. Because they say, well, if we do that, you know, somebody's going to say, we're charismatic. But we have to go back. And we have to think about it so far back. We can go back in the book of Paul. I mean, in Paul's writings and all through the Bible and all through the scripture and everything. And even in a day and time that we're living in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, you had people that would want to just come into the house of God because they wanted something that they didn't have. They didn't have the joy that the people that was in the sanctuary or the house of God, they didn't have that joy and that the praise that other people had. So they come into the house of God and they would come in and yes, they think they're going to sit down and then just leave, but a whole lot of times they didn't even sit down. A whole lot of time, they just come in and the Holy Spirit have grabbed them right at the door and it come walk with them all the way to the altar. All the way to the altar. And when it got to the altar, they was crying. And they would be weeping. Why? Because it was lost. Because they didn't have the joy that the people had. Do we have the same joy that they had back in the 30s and the 40s? We should. Matter of fact, we should have more of it today, right now, today, than they did back then. You say, preacher, how can you say that? It says, you know, back then, you know, you had people come in, and they would come in, they would flock into the house. They would come in, and yes, you had to open the door for outside, and people would stand on the outside, and the windows would, they'd raise the windows, and people would just hang over into the church to listen to what's going on, listen to the songs, and listen to the preacher preach. What's wrong about it today? We don't have that anymore. Why? It's because the people, outside of these doors don't feel the joy. They don't feel the joy that we have. They don't see the joy that we have. I mean, I tell you, we need to get back to some old-fashioned church. Once we, as this church, grasp it in our heart that yes, that we want this church to grow. Not just say it, but we got to put some action behind it. And the action is coming in and praising the Lord and having the joy in our heart. And when we leave the house of God, then that joy won't leave. The praise that we come in and praising with our lips will not leave once we leave the house of God. But naturally, if you come into the house of God and you don't praise the Lord, and if you don't feel like that you have some kind of joy and He has filled your cup up to where it runs over, how do we expect people to come in? How do we expect for other people to come in and worship with us? You know, I mean, to me, I would rather myself, I would rather come in these church doors, start singing, start praising the Lord. We got time, take up a little offering. But just allow the Lord to work in our lives. And when He does, and we just obey Him, it's not just obeying Him for our tithes and offerings. It's not just obeying Him to be in the house of God. It's just not obeying Him to go out here invite somebody to church. It's not just obeying Him to go out here and visit on a weekly basis. But it's all the other things that we forget about. We forget about giving Him praise because He saved us. That right there is enough. For a Presbyterian to stand up and wave their hand and shout unto the Lord because He saved you. I don't have to go to hell all because of what Jesus done. You don't have to go to hell all because of what Jesus done. They don't have to go to hell all because of what Jesus done. But it's going to take us. It's going to take the church, which is the individual believer, to go out and allow the people to see something in our life that they've never seen before. You say, well, they've seen my life. Have it. Heaven. Had they seen it to the point that, because I'm going to tell you something, when you've given God the praise, and when you're worshiping God, and I know that you, a whole in on the job and everything today, it's hard to say. They don't want you to do that. They don't want you to praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. But they can never take that away from you. You can have the praise in your heart. You can have the joy in your heart. And when you do, it's going to bubble over. Your cup is going to start filling up once again. And it's going to start overflowing. And then you're going to have people at your workplace or where you may be at say, well, I seen you come in today and everything, and it's just something a little different about you. And here it is, you just thanking the Lord under your breath and praising His name for everything He's done for me and for you, and help us to be the witness that He'd have us to be. That I want the Lord to take me and do what He has to do. I want to be the best Christian that God has in His army. And when you get down and you get just thinking about things like that, you get to thinking about all the joy. You get to start thinking about, well, hey, we just had church last night. I said, but I can't wait. I can't wait until Sunday, because I never know what the preacher's going to preach about. Never know what God has for us. Are we satisfied? Am I satisfied with my own praise and joy and glory? Am I satisfied with what I'm doing for the Lord? No, I'm not. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied one bit. I know that I can do more. I know that I can pray more. I know that I can read God's word more. But I can read it every day. I can go through the Bible. I can go to read 10 or 15 different books in the Bible a day. And I can pray. But at the end of the day, I'm still not satisfied. Why? Because it's something else that I could have done. Something else that I could have done. Right now, I'm not satisfied with the way things are going with my body right now. With with my legs getting so tired and so weak at times. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied at all about that. But one thing I can honestly say, that I may miss a service, but I'm going to be back. And why I have to miss a service, I don't know. I know there's people today, they're not sick. They're completely healthy. But yet, where they're tonight, they're at home. Where they're going to be Sunday morning, at home. Where they've been all week, they've been working on a job all week. And God's blessed them with the job and the health that they have. and everything. But there are also people that's not satisfied. People like that, or they're not satisfied in a way to where, instead of making, well, I'll go back to what y'all was talking about, Brother William. Now, Brother William, hope he gets a job and everything, but making $20 an hour. No doubt he probably had never even expected anywhere close to that. Even in the computer field around in this area, you know, it's hard. But the thing about it is, the $20 an hour, if he don't watch himself, if he don't watch himself, it's going to be a couple years down the road that he's not going to be satisfied with the $20. We're never satisfied. There are some days that only what little I have is change in my front pocket. But I'm satisfied with that, because I know the Lord is going to allow me to eat another meal. Because he said, he will never leave me or forsake me. He will always provide. And he did not tell me, it's not in the scripture. It may be in some of these other translations they got out here. But nowhere in God's word has ever told me that he's going to provide for me a brand new automobile. And he's going to provide me with money in my back pocket. And he's going to provide for me a brand new home. Nowhere in God's word says that he's going to do that to me. The only thing that God does say, he will meet our needs, not our wants. We want too much. And I'm going to say this right here. I believe the Lord Jesus don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, but I believe that the Trinity of God has spoiled America. Has spoiled us to the point that, yes, we have the church house open. Come in if you want to. I was telling Brother Bill right before service started at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. They're going to be having their annual Sword of the Lord conference. I think it's in June or July. It's in the latter part of June or the first part of July, one or the other. But the first time I hadn't been but one time. And with that I decided I'm not gonna go back. It's not because of what they don't preach. It's about, it's a show off, I think. But when I went down there that Tuesday night with another preacher, And we looked on the board. They had, you know, they got the board up there with, you know, how many come to Sunday school and how many rode the bus and everything with the bus ministry and how many they had in preaching and all of that and the tithes and the offering and how many missionaries they support and everything. To me, and they just didn't have one up there. I mean, the sanctuary was a big sanctuary. But why would you need four of them? They had four of them within a sanctuary that you could look and you could see. If you turn from, if you turn that way, you could see one. If you turn that way, you could see one. And the ones behind me was the same way. But the thing about it was, what they had there and what they had up on the board was, man, I shouldn't have probably said it's a show-off, showy or nothing like that. And knowing Bobby Robinson, that's not what he intended for people to even look at or do. But I noticed on the bulletin board, for that Sunday morning now, they had how many they had for Sunday school. It was over 1,000 for there for Sunday school. And over that for preaching and everything. But it was something like about 27. Between 20s. $728,000 that they took in that day. Naturally, they got a big church. Naturally, they're bringing people in from other sections of North Carolina. They come as far as Reedsville, go to Walkertown, which is in between Greensboro and Winston-Salem. But then you got people that's driving from High Point out. You got people that's driving the extra miles. And as Will was talking, you know, we got some right here in the city of Danville, Pennsylvania County, that drives all the way to Lynchburg, to Thomas Road Baptist Church. But still, I want to ask, I mean, and I asked Bobby, I said, I wonder, the ones that's driving to Lynchburg or even the ones that's driving to Walkertown, that's driving an hour and a half away or something like that to it. If the family members get sick and in the hospital and they're on their deathbed, can the family member be able to pick up a phone and call the pastor of that church and ask them to come and hold a service? I doubt it. I doubt it one iota. We even have a church within this, within the city of Danville, that he don't even go out. He don't even shake the people's hands. It's in church. He walks in from the back door. He must have been raised Methodist. But he walks in from the back door and comes up here and then he tells them, they even know what book to open because they got it written down. I mean, it's already outlined in the brochure, whatever they get. It's not that I'm talking about them. It's not that I'm talking about the churches. But why Do they have to end up having these big churches, these great big life centers? It's the personal contact they don't want to have with people. I'm the opposite. I like to have the personal contact. I like to have the interaction with the people. And that's the only way that I like it. I mean, if a church grows to the point to where we get to this church right here is completely full, I am not going to go out here and spend no $200,000 or $300,000 to go out here and add on another 400 or 500, maybe 600 more, where 600 or 800 more people could see it. No. Why shouldn't I go down there? Why shouldn't I go down the road somewhere and a pastor, a young, you got a young preacher out here is looking to pastor, but yet we need to help them to get started somehow. And if we have somebody within a church that's willing to go out and nothing else, have to, just Sunday school, Sunday morning services, allow them to get their feet wet. Allow them to see that it's not all about an 8-hour day job. And that's what people look at now. I've had some of my own family members that come and ask me, say, "Where did you get that job down to church? Or did you get that job out there where you was, that I heard that you would love to have?" I says, first of all, it's not a job. First of all, to me, it's a privilege to be used of God. And it's not about me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know if I was to drop dead right here, right now, and y'all had to call a life-saving crew, and they come here, and they check me out and everything, says, and they tell my wife, and they tell the church that I'm gone. Well, if that happens, I would love for Nancy to just come up here and start singing his song. I'm gone. He's gone. He's not there anymore. And I don't want nobody. And I'll tell you right now, I don't want nobody coming here and not have just a funeral service. I want them to come here and preach. I want them to come and preach my funeral. There's nothing they can say about me because my life has already been lived. There's nothing I can do about that anymore. My life has already been lived. My biography started May 27th, 1950. I haven't got to the end yet. I'm still writing it. I'm still writing it with my life. We need to look at it that way. But we need to remember that we need to come into the house of the Lord and just wave our hand and praise Him. And thank Him for His mercy and His grace. I think He deserves it. I think He deserves the praise and the waving of our hands Because see, if he can't get his people to do it, then he will send a mighty rushing wind through. He will show us the effect. And just think about and looking at the effect of the storm, the windstorm, the winds that we have had around here. And we haven't had no severe storms and nothing like that. We just had some power outages and some trees fall, something like that. But not compared to some of the other states. But just think. See them trees that have moved back and forth. Back and forth. And you got up, and then you can go see some of these, you can go ahead and look at some of these trees that's been around for hundreds of years. And the wind comes by. And the limbs that's in the top of the trees, they will blow. You can't see what's causing it. They say a storm. They said, well, Mother Nature caused that. Mother Nature ain't caused nothing. Mother Nature does not cause storms. Mother Nature does not bring us the rain. But thanks be to God. He is showing us something. And just think, if he can have that much effect on the wind, I mean with the trees out here, how much effect don't you think he wants to have on our life? He saved us. Don't never give up. Don't never give up on the Lord. Don't never say, I can't. Because I know that everything's possible with God. I can't. I can't. That word, them two words, I can't. And the other word is if, is not in God's vocabulary. If God. It ain't no if God. We should say, when God. And when we say, I can't, we're giving up to the fact that we don't want to. We just don't want to. We just don't want to serve Him. We just don't want to do what He's asked us to do. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight. Tonight, there was just some things that I said that I really didn't want to say. But, you know, that's where the scripture comes in, that you got to be instant in season and out of season. Means that you've got to preach your word. When you like it or when you don't. Because see, that's the only way we can be helped is by God's word. By God's word is the only reason we can be helped. Now I know that I went a little over tonight. Maybe a whole lot over tonight. I do ask you to forgive me for that, but I can't apologize for God's word. I can't apologize for what God has allowed me to do and say. But I know this.
that if we really want this church to turn around, and if we ever want to see where the people come in to the house of God, we have got to worship Him the way He says worship Him. And that's praise Him. I think it's for the last four chapters. Yeah, the last four chapters in the book of Psalms. The very first word of each chapter is praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I know y'all waiting for me.
Yes.
It ain't nothing, but I'll tell you what. It's looking further and further down, I tell you.
You need some help, preacher?
Yeah, probably. I've come
to Donnie, you want me to come up there too? Because
you're wobbling. I know I'm wobbling. I'm a wobbling thing.
Whoops.
Lean down, yeah.
He's got his foot on me.
Yeah. You get that?
There you go.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm down now.
Richard, we can't hold that breath so long.
I kind of think he was fretting us there a little bit.